Amen, amen, amen. Somebody read my notes and wrote the song. Thank you. You know, back in the year 2001, George O'Leary was on top of the world. He had just been named as the head football coach for the University of Notre Dame. And you can only imagine, just imagine, the thrill of someone with an Irish name as O'Leary coaching the Fighting Irish. Now, some of you might not comprehend the importance of this appointment to coach O'Leary. For someone named O'Leary, being identified with the Fighting Irish is like dying and going to heaven. But 2 days later, O'Leary's dream turned into a nightmare. Or should I say, his heaven turned into a purgatory. Why? Because a sports reporter started nosing around and looking, and he discovered that O'Leary lied in his resume. And his resume, it says that he played football in New Hampshire. But O'Leary figured that the resume was written 21 years earlier. And it's when he applied for a job at Syracuse. And for 21 years, he got away with it because no one bothered to check the accuracy of his resume. 21 years. He lied when his lie went unnoticed. His 21 years. His lie being accepted as the truth. 21 years. A lie went totally unchecked. And that time, some of you might remember that, people were saying, but it's just a small lie. It's neither here nor there. As long as he's good at his job, it's just a little bit of exaggeration. But sadly, it ended his career. Now, growing up, if I heard this statement once, I heard it many times, and you'll understand why in a minute. Lying has legs, and sooner or later is going to catch up with you. Now, there's a reason why I heard that a lot. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Now, of course, I'm speculating here, but I think had this happened in our time now, in this day and age, it would have probably been just a blip on the screen. And he would continue in his job. Why do I say this? Listen to me. Because sadly and devastatingly, lying has become so common now. The media, my goodness gracious, you cannot even know if they're telling the truth or not. Politicians, businessmen, I mean, they lie with impunity. Even back then, someone quoted the coach to be saying, who in the world does not lie on his resume? Now, I'm told that 50% of resumes are doctored. You know what I mean? That contain some sort of fudging, some sort of falsehood. A few years ago, there was a landmark study in America. It was huge in the world of sociology. And when you do a major nationwide study like this, it gained the nation's attention regarding lying. And the study concluded as follows. Just about everyone lies at some point. 91% lie regularly. 1 in 5 cannot make it through the day with a single day without lying. But there's more. There's a little bit more trivia about their findings. And I'm going to tell you where to find that information, by the way. And for example, they said men lie more than women. Go figure. Homosexuals lie more than heterosexuals. Unemployed lie more than employed. here's a shocker, liberals lie more than conservatives. Well, on and on and on, I'm not going to get into that. But this sad conclusion, that study was published in a book and was a bestseller back then. It's called The Day America Told the Truth. I just hope that they told the truth to the researchers. Finally, they summarized that lying is embedded in the national culture. I hope not, but if it's true, this is more than sad. It's depressing. Why? Because listen to me, without the truth, our family relationships, our judicial system, our governments, our businesses, all are going to come to a tragic end. I am sure in these numbers that this study has conducted, there are some professing Christians. I'm sure if it's 90%. And I want to tell you something before I go any further. Preachers are notorious when it comes to exaggerating. They don't call it lying. They're exaggerating. So I want to start with that so you don't think, oh, I'm pointing fingers. No. That's it. I got my own gang on first. But I need to move on to say, healing can only come when we confess our propensity to lying. As a boy growing up in a very strict, legalistic environment, I lied constantly. The number one reason for lying was fear. At home, I lied because I was fearing I'm going to get a whipping from my father. In the Catholic school that I went to, I lied because these Italian nuns had told us that if you lie, they're going to cut our tongue with a razor blade. And trust me to test that. I tested that more than once. I hate to tell you this. Kids, close your ears. I was 5 years old when I tested the nuns. But praise God, when Jesus came into my life, when Jesus' love engulfed me, when Jesus' grace and forgiveness overwhelmed me, that was the first deliverance that I've experienced. But even when I was young, before I came to Christ, I looked much older than I am now. While I never lied about my age, I just didn't tell the truth. Now, I want you to look at this picture. Whisper to the person next to you, what age do you think I was? Just between you, between the two of you, okay? And I'll tell you in a minute. You see, I got things done that even my older siblings couldn't do. I mean, I dressed up to the hilt, and I walk in offices, and I'll say the words and magic words, and I'll leave that to your imagination. And I got things done. I got decisions made in the bureaucracy where normally could get anything done. Well, if you guessed 15, you would be right. That's my graduation from middle school to the upper school. You see, in fact, back in the late 90s, Joshua, my son, went to Egypt and part of the ministry, and he persuaded my older brother to just tell him all sorts of tales about all sorts of antics that I went up to. And I must admit, I rationalized it by saying, well, I'm not doing anything harm. I'm not harming. I'm doing it for good. I'm helping people. And I did. But beloved, let me tell you, when I came to Christ, I knew that would not wash. In fact, this is why today I'm extremely conscious of that sin. Even whenever I lose the slightest bit of exaggeration, I find myself stopping and literally correcting myself immediately, sometimes even publicly. As I said earlier, pastors are notorious about exaggerating. and they exaggerate the size of the ministry, they exaggerate the number of their congregation, they exaggerate all sorts of things. And that is why, even now, when my colleagues at Leading the Way give me some statistics that sound so fishy to me, I have to get them to double check and triple check, just because of my self-consciousness about this, and I want it to be accurate. Now, I'd never want to use unverified numbers. So a question, why do we lie? Why do we lie, generally? Generally speaking, why do we lie? Well, regardless of what we call it, I mean, you know, the, inflating the truth or massaging the numbers or fudging the statistics or exaggerating or spinning. Oh, my goodness, that's a business of politics now, spinning. It doesn't matter what we call it. It doesn't matter what we call it. There is a truth and there is a lie. Period. But why do we lie? Well, adults often lie to impress people. They want to impress people. Others, they lie to improve their side of the negotiation in business. Children lie mostly out of fear. Politicians lie, well, to get elected. I'm really not going to pick on politicians. In fact, I read a story some years ago about a well-known Louisiana politician by the name of Huey Long. Some of you probably know that name. On his first day campaigning, he got in an area in Louisiana, and one of his campaign managers said, you know, this is a very Catholic area. And he said, okay, thank you for that. And so he would start, first stop, he began to tell the speech, to tell the story. He says, when I was a boy, I used to get up at 6 a.m. on Sunday morning, and I hitch my old horse to the buggy and take my Catholic grandparents to Mass. Well, people really loved it. So he went from stop to stop, telling that story again and again. And finally, he came to one stop in one town where somebody in that town knew his family well. So the man went up to him and said, Huey, I didn't know that your grandparents were Catholics. He said, don't be a fool. I didn't have an old horse either. Well, I'm not picking on politicians. That's why I started with preachers. Please hear me right. This is a serious matter. It really is a serious matter. The sin of lying knows no limit. Knows no limit. And trust me when I tell you that I'm not standing here pointing fingers. I'm not. But this is so serious a matter for all of us, for our culture to survive. And now with the AI, the artificial intelligence, and my goodness gracious me, I mean, it's threatening to destroy confidence in the truth. They think by 2027 it's going to really be bad. I've been studying, as non-technical as I am, I'm trying to do my best to learn. Now it has become impossible to believe any truth because AI images and words look so real. Half of the news, I'm told, either misinformation or outright lie. In fact, next Sunday, I hope you'll be here, we got a video from my colleague who's at Leading the Way, who's an expert in AI, and his mission is to redeem AI. And we have something called My Faith Assistance, where you can literally, instead of going to GPT, whatever it is, AI, and you can go there and you get any question answered, biblical questions, any information, out of gathering of 1,500 sermons and 56 books. All of that has been put together in this thing. And you'll hear more from my colleague, Steve Watson, on video next week. Because there's something else that I need to tell you here. I want to move from AI. There's something else that we often don't take as seriously in the churches, and that is the issue of gossip. Gossip. There are many times when we gossip and tear people up, tear their names, their reputations, under the guise of sharing concerns. We shred people's privacy and lives by gossip. Listen to me. Through the years, I have learned that most gossip contains a fair amount of misinformation or half-truth, and they're presented as facts. That's why I love on Wednesday night, you know, what Rand does when we have literally two pages of prayer requests. And there he mentioned praying for so-and-so. So-and-so have requested that. So that we're not making information and say, oh, somebody's sick and we did not, you know, we got the wrong information. So we have the name of the person who asked for the prayers. We have that on Wednesday night. Thank you, Rand. He does a great job. Beloved, the Church of Jesus Christ has been and always will be known as the people of the truth. Amen. And for good reason, for good reason. Let me tell you this. Because being truth tellers enhance the power of our testimony. Being truth tellers enhance the power of our witness. And the Bible said in John 1:14, Jesus, who came from the Father in heaven, full of grace and what? Truth. And in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the truth. And beloved, listen to me. If our Lord is true to us, then we must be true to Him and to others. Again, through the years, Christians have asked me questions like, is there a time when it's okay to lie just a little bit? What about white lies? What about telling tales for comical effect? What about someone just pulling your leg? And look, my response is very simple. He said, you must immediately tell the truth. You must immediately reveal the truth, even if it's not deceptive. Otherwise, you're violating commandment number 9. And if you're visiting with us, we're right a second from the last. Next Sunday, we will finish the series on the 10 commandments. The core of the 9th commandment, you shall not bear false witness, is the intention. What is my intention? Is it to deceive? Because the insidious thing about the sin of lying is that it deceives people. It misleads people. It creates mistrust. And that is the very heart and core of the 9th commandment. What is it? Whether my intention to deceive people or not. A number of years ago, somebody asked me, what about the people in the Bible who have lied? And they are there. Can't deny them. What about the midwives in Egypt who lied to Pharaoh in order to protect Jewish kids? What about Rahab who lied to the Canaanites to protect Joshua's spies? What about Gideon? What about Jacob? And on and on and on and on. And that's a great question, by the way. Listen carefully. The fact is that some people lied, and they're recorded in biblical history, is not a cause or a reason for any of us to follow their example. The Bible never justifies lying. The 9th commandment condemns lying no matter what the cause may be. Think about this. Most people of whom the Bible records that they have lied should have trusted in the power of God to do the will of God without lying. You see, the Bible never condones them. The Bible records it. The people should have trusted God to fulfill His purpose without lying. And here's the problem. Some people use these individuals whom the Bible records for lying to justify falsehood in order to save their hide. But that doesn't wash. Let me repeat that. That doesn't wash. Hear me right, please. The fact that the Bible is being an honest book, because the Bible is a transparent book, because the Bible is a trustworthy book. It records these lies in the biblical history. It doesn't mean that the Bible approves of them. In fact, it doesn't. Let me put it this way. In the Bible, the very, 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 very first lie was pronounced by the serpent when she lied to Eve. Remember that? From that moment on, the Bible calls Satan the father of lies. Now, here's something always helps me to overcome any temptation to even exaggerate or fudge the truth just even a little bit. Always, always, always remember that Satan is the father of lies, but Jesus is the truth. Amen. Always remember that. So ask yourself the following questions. I have five in number. They're very quickly. They won't take long, but they help me, and I pray to God to help you. Five questions. Ask yourself, and if you're taking notes, you can write them down. I don't know whether you're going to have them on the screen or not, but I'll speak slowly. The first question, am I identifying myself with Jesus, who is the truth, or am I identifying with the enemy of my soul and the father of lies? That's the first question. The second question is this, am I more concerned about pleasing the Lord, or am I willing to lie in order to please people and gain their approval? Question number three, am I more concerned and anxious for the Lord to get the glory, or am I willing to let Satan have the upper hand in my life? For make no mistake about it, make no mistake about it, repeatedly fudging of the truth will help Satan develop a stronghold in our soul. Number four, do I care more about grieving the Holy Spirit or not grieving the Holy Spirit in my life? Oh, my goodness. I know there are times when I grieve the Holy, and I literally wept hot tears. When I grieve my best friend, the great gift of God, my paraclete, my comforter, my healer, my companion, who else have I got left? So am I more concerned about not grieving the Holy Spirit, or am I more committed to making good impression on people? Number five, am I more concerned about the reputation of the one who died for me, or am I more concerned about my own reputation? Asking these or similar questions is going to give you victory every time, every time. Some of you may have heard me say this before, that sometimes hymns and songs have made more liars of Christians than the devil. And for good reason, for good reason. Jeremy and I had an interesting discussion about this week. Please, please, please think with me. Just think with me for a minute. I seldom, a time that I sing a hymn or a song without being convicted, without asking myself, do I really practice this? Or do I really long to practice this? And if the answer is no, truthfully, I stop singing. What are my own? And oh, I sing on my own when nobody's listening. Unless I immediately confess and repent to the Lord privately, then and only then can I keep on singing. I'll give you an example. Several years ago, in fact, when you hear the song, you will know it's been a number of years ago. Remember that song we used to sing? Have thy own way, Lord, have your own way. Oh, well, I'm praying this, and the Holy Spirit immediately pointed to something. Are you willing for the Lord to have his way with this? I stopped. I wept. I confessed. Only then I could keep on singing. I always have to do business with God before I continue singing. My beloved friends, honesty in any relationship, including but especially our relationship with the Lord, is of utmost importance. Is of uttermost importance. For he sees all things, he knows all things, and honesty in our relationship with him is truly like a son to a plant. The relationship strives on honesty. Because when you confess, what are you doing? You're agreeing with God. Because God knows, right? So confession is you coming in agreement with heaven. And there is a unique blessing for that. I am fully aware that hearing unadulterated truth is difficult to accept or hear. I'm not ignorant of the fact that hearing the truth can be very, very, very painful and harmful, especially if it's spoken in unloving ways. Right. Amen. It often hurts even when it's spoken in love. But please listen to me. So does the surgery. So does the surgery. You can have the most loving surgeon in the world, but he or she has to cut before they can heal. And then after the body heals, we are thrilled. We're delighted. And it makes all the pain worthwhile. Amen. Worthwhile. Why is this important? Proverbs 12:22 says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who are truthful." I'm going to come to conclusion very quickly. And I want us, every one of us, including your pastor, we prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord. And you hear me read from 1 Corinthians, coming in an unworthy manner, without confession. You're basically heaping judgment on yourself. That's the word of God. So I want us to all prepare our hearts when we walk down these aisles. We walk down in confession. We walk down in repentance. I want to tell you something on the other side of this. If you've been a recipient of lies, somebody lied about you, you'll understand that. If you have not, it's going to be difficult for you. You know what I'm talking about? You understand the deep grief that false accusations feels like? You know what I'm talking about? Jeremiah calls these sharp arrows. Now, I have been the recipient of so many lies. You assume that, being in public life, of course. When these lies come from the enemies of the cross, listen carefully, God is my witness. I often praise God. I thank him because he knows the truth. I thank him because my family and my friends and my colleagues, they know the truth. Especially when these lies and false accusations come from those who are angry at me when I expose their false teaching and their false preaching and the false gospels. So what do they do? They repeatedly call us extremists, out of the mainstream, narrow-minded, homophobe, Islamophobe, transphobe, and all the phobes in the world, racist, intolerant. And would you believe it? Would you believe it? This is bad. During COVID, I think it was. Somebody literally walked up to me and he said, "You're a white supremacist." I said, I said, you really need to get your glasses checked. Beloved, the answer to all of this is not anger. It's not anger. It's not response in kind. No, 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 no. But rather continue to speak the truth in love. And speaking the truth in love, I can tell you, is impossible without the strength of the Holy Spirit. But speaking the truth in love, we must. Because if we want to please the Lord, and you've heard me, I live for whatever few years He gave me, left for the audience of one. That is what literally occupy my mind when I wake up and when I go to bed. All day long, the audience of one. What will I say to Him? Will I hear from His lips, well done, good and faithful servant? It's the longing of my heart. And if you're longing of your heart to please the Lord, you must be willing to pay any price. Any price. Sometimes the price is displease people. Did you get that? Yeah. Sometimes the price is to displease people. Yeah. We don't do it deliberately, but it happens when you speak the truth in love. Father, Patrick reminded us of your patience. Incredible patience. And Lord, I thank you for your patience with me. How often I have tried your patience. How often I came to you crying, and never once did you say, this is the number 6,500 times you've come to me. You don't count. You welcome me and you welcome every one of my brothers and sisters who are at the sound of my voice. It's only the devil and his tricks that tells us not to turn to you, that we have sinned beyond you for your forgiveness and your grace. But Father, we know that you are inviting us. Your arms are wide open. And so we come to you, the speaker and the listeners, all together, believing that this blood that's symbolized on this table, the blood of Jesus, washes us from all our sins. For it is in His name I pray.